Well, as we look ahead to 2022, we're going to get some help now from Aneta Markowska. She is Jefferies' chief financial economist, recently out with her outlook for 2022. And Aneta, let me start with interest rates, right? Because of the news that we got yesterday and the sort of repricing that we seem to be seeing in the market here. First of all, I'll get this out of the way. Do you think that having Jay Powell continue at the top of the Fed is going to have any sort of meaningful difference in terms of the path of rates here?
No, I don't. I would agree with your earlier comment. I think this was a market clearing event that really allows investors to go back to the fundamentals and think about, okay, now that we've gotten that decision out of the way, what's next for the Fed? And I think actually there's a very good chance, given what the data have been doing in recent weeks, that the Fed might have to accelerate the pace of tapering as soon as the December meeting. That is our base case as of now. You know, Clarita also opened the door to this idea late last week. He was very clear that he will be watching the data very closely between now and the December meeting. If the data continues to surprise on the upside, as they have in recent months, that they might have to or might make sense to actually accelerate the pace of tapering. I think the data will continue to surprise on the upside. A lot of the big data that we watch point to another very robust month for retail sales in November. I also think employment's tracking very well for November. As of right now, we've penciled in somewhere between 800,000 and 850,000 jobs. So, you know, you've got not only inflation being hot, but actually just a lot of evidence that the economy is able to withstand it. If anything, GDP is tracking very well. I think those estimates are going to be coming up. And so I think that's really what the market's starting to focus on, right? What's happening on the ground in the real economy, and what does that imply for the Fed? And again, I think a very good chance that they continue to kind of along the hawkish pivot path at the December meeting.
Aneta, are you still looking for a 7% increase in fourth quarter GDP? And what's driving that?
So I think it's actually a lot of different things. Consumption, first of all. We started the quarter with very strong October retail sales. It looks like November is going to be equally strong, if not better. Card spending data so far looks really good. Something else that's worth noting is, you know, following the removal of the travel ban in early November, we've seen the number of international visitors spike by 35%. Right. So presumably a lot of folks come here to shop ahead of the holidays. I think that's going to be another important factor driving retail activity and consumption. Housing is another area that has really picked up. Housing was a drag on GDP growth, both in the second and the third quarters. It knocked off 0.4 in the third quarter. It's on track to actually add 0.8. So you're talking about almost a full percentage point swing there just in housing alone. And so I think just between those two areas, that's a pretty sharp reacceleration growth momentum.
Let's talk about the end of 2022. Fast forward a little bit. You are looking at the tightest labor market since the 1950s. That's what you're projecting. And that means that we're going to see wage growth. It sounds like what you're expecting next year is this sort of goods inflation that we have been seeing is going to moderate, and that wage inflation is going to pick up. Is that going to convince people to get back to work and help then loosen up the labor market a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, I think we are starting to see that. As I mentioned, I think November employment is tracking very well. And we already saw a little bit of a pickup in October. I think that momentum looks like it's continuing to build. And it makes perfect sense, right? For all the reason that we were looking for, our labor supply seems to be improving a little bit. Demand for labor is just unprecedented, right? And I think even after, you know, there's obviously slack in the labor market as of right now. We estimate that there's about 4 million people that can still come back to the labor market relatively easily. But labor demand far exceeds that, right? There are still about 10 million job openings. So we're, even after we absorb you know, all those people that are currently unemployed or who have dropped out of the labor force, we're still going to end up with excess demand for labor that's likely to be unmet. So I am looking for the tightest labor market in decades. I think, you know, there's a very good chance that we go back to a 4% unemployment rate as early as January, right? That's the Fed's definition of full employment by the sort of narrow measures. As far as broader measures, I think we'll get there by roughly the middle of the year. And I think there's a good chance that by the end of next year, we see the unemployment rate dip toward 3%. And again, we haven't seen that since the 50s.
There's been some talk amongst some of the folks that I talked to in the street, Annette, about a potential productivity boom next year. Where do you stand on that?
Yeah, I think that makes sense. You know, there's been a little bit of a sort of a dip or payback, if you will, in productivity. And I think that might continue into the fourth quarter as we reopen some of the more labor intensive parts of the economy, like leisure and hospitality, like healthcare. But then when I'm thinking about sort of the spring and summer of next year and from then onwards, you know, to the extent that supply side and on the manufacturing side starts to catch up to demand, I think, you know, you kind of have the mix shift going the other way again. But really, you know, we've had robust investment since the start of the pandemic. The lags there can be long, but they're somewhere between 2 and 3 years. So I think we could start to see that payoff in productivity data. I will say I am very constructive on CapEx for 2022. I think the one sort of logical or rational response from the business community to persistently strong demand and just chronic supply shortage is to increase capacity, is to invest in productivity enhancing technologies. Certainly a rational response to a very tight labor market. So I think, you know, we've started to see a secular improvement in productivity that frankly began before the pandemic. Again, we experienced a little bit of a sort of payback effect in the last quarter, but I think that secular trend continues, and I think you're going to see very robust investment through the end of next year that will just continue to support that. So, yeah, I mean, at some point, I think that is something that could help extend the cycle, you know, but I don't think it's something that's going to prevent us from getting to a very tight labor market situation because those job openings are there and there's just simply not enough people to fill them.
And Annette, finally, if that's going to be the rational reaction on the part of corporations, I'm curious what you see for consumer spending. Thus far, what seems to be happening, consumers feel terrible. They see higher prices, but they're spending anyway. And so I'm curious if you think that dynamic is going to persist well into next year until we start to see that inflation dynamic switch, in which case maybe consumer spending will continue to be robust.
Yeah, so I'm much more in a camp that this is sustained demand. I actually believe this is demand-led inflation for the most part. I think this narrative about, you know, supply bottlenecks is a little bit overstated. Right. If you look at imports, our imports of consumer products, they are up 20% since before the pandemic. So it's not that ports are processing less stuff because somehow everything's stuck and not moving. They're actually processing a lot more. The problem is demand for consumer products is up 23% since the start of the pandemic. And that gap has been accumulating for months and months and months. So I think this is very much demand-led inflation. And I think it's being sustained by a combination of very healthy household balance sheets, the best balance sheets we've seen in decades, literally in our lifetimes. And there's still $2.5 trillion of cash that has yet to be spent. So a lot of firepower there that will sustain demand for the foreseeable future. And then on top of that, you have, again, a very robust labor market. You have wage inflation that we normally don't see until very late in the cycle. And what's really unique is that these wage rate gains are skewed toward lower income households, which we haven't seen in two decades. If you're a leisure hospitality worker, you're annualizing 12% wage inflation. So price inflation, 6%, guess what? You're fine. I think, again, it's a combination of excess savings and robust wage growth that is allowing consumers to absorb these higher prices, and I don't see that changing next year.
Very interesting stuff. Good to see you, Annetta. Annetta Markowska, Jefferies Chief Financial Economist. Happy Thanksgiving to you, and we'll catch up with you soon.